ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome in on a beautiful Saturday morning. It's Mark Zander, Brian Hanley on ESPN 1000. So glad you're joining us. 312-332-3776 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation. Lots to get to today. Good morning, Mr. Zander.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing terrific, and I'm glad to see that Carlos Rodon is doing better. He was out there, and yeah, the pitch count was a little high for five innings, and the velocity maybe not as high as you'd like, but it was a good start.
Step in the right direction, Brian.
Absolutely.
Step in the right direction. Yeah, and Kopech, Mr. Kopech, he looked good. A couple strikeouts. He faced just a couple in one hit off of him and one walk, but a couple strikeouts. So he looks better as well. So very encouraging out of those two arms.
Yeah, I think, did I see that the velo, as Rodon likes to refer to the velocity, was up to, what, 97.8, which I believe was a frequency you might have worked on at some point.
97, yeah, actually 97.9. You're close.
Yeah. So, he'd been down around 95, 96, so it was up maybe a couple of miles, a couple of ticks, as he said. Not exactly the 100 you'd like to see, but hopefully that's coming. And so some of those 8 to 10 pitch, 12 pitch at-bats, worked that count up to 86 pitches, but they got through five, and he got through 86 pitches, and off you go. And then, you know, hopefully, because I know you were concerned last week when we last spoke.
Yeah.
That he might not be available to be part of your playoff rotation, but you could live with that. You'd like to live with 98 to 100, for sure.
Look, absolutely. He's moving in the right direction. He had some nasty stuff. Rafael Devers threw his helmet down in disgust after he swung through a slider that just dropped out and just dropped from being a strike. So, yeah, he had some nasty stuff. He's looking good. That's what we needed to see, right? A little more rest. Maybe gets a little more velo back. But what he did last night was a nice rebound.
Yeah, and I don't know where Eloy thought he was going last night on second base with a sore knee.
I know.
But
yeah.
Good to see him back out there anyway. That was just a bizarre incident where he gets, beamed with a foul ball off the warning track into the dugout, right. And there goes the knee, and down goes Eloy.
Well, it made me nuts that it was like, okay, who told him to take that lead off?
Where are you going?
You got a bad knee.
You got a bad knee.
Yeah. Look at third. Look at him telling you, get back. What are you doing? Who do you think you are?
I know people want him to be a designated hitter. Do you have to have a designated runner now, too?
Right. What do you think you are, T.A.? Do you think you're Billy Hamilton? Come on now. Get back.
Miguel DeLaNe back in the day.
Right.
The designated Cubs base stealer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't need that,
right,
hopefully.
Out of the box.
Come on, we don't need that.
Anyway, White Sox, got to win some series here. I mean, it's not just the road series. Tony said it, time to tighten things up. Let's go. There's too many things each week where you say, come on, we got to be better at that. We got to be better at that. But, look, they're still 11 games up in the division, so they picked up a game since we last spoke, I think. So
yeah, they did, and the magic number's going down, and that's all fine and good, but we're still going to face those really good teams in the playoffs, and we really have to find a consistency against good teams with winning records. That is my major concern. Now, there are a lot of Sox fans that say, hey, you know what, don't worry about it. Forget about it. We'll get there. We'll do it. We'll get there. I would just like to see us build up a little head of steam moving into the playoffs, and we're fast approaching the middle of September.
Yeah, Tony La Russa is right there with you. I mean, he keeps reminding everyone, we've got to be better than this. And guess what? They've got to be better than this. So it's good that you have a few more weeks to work things out, get more guys back in. It would have been nice to see Chris Sale going tomorrow night against Lynn. But
boy, they've had a tough time with COVID in the Red Sox locker room.
Chris Sale's second one, and they're not saying whether he's vaccinated or not. My money is on no.
I think that's a solid guess there, Bry.
Yeah, let me ask you this. The NHL, usually not the league you think pioneering and doing what I would believe to be the right thing, but taking the lead in this.
Yep.
they are going to put players, unvaccinated players who test positive for COVID will be unpaid. They will be on unpaid leave. If you're vaccinated and have a breakthrough case, you will be on paid leave as if you were on the IR or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Because you did what they thought you should do. But if you're unvaccinated and you want to take your chances on that and you're unavailable to the team, you're not going to get a paycheck. And so I don't know, you know, if they had to go to the union and negotiate this and the Players Association, you know, look, the NHL union.
I would bet they must have, right? I mean, that must have been a conversation they had to have.
Well, the NHL union is, if you lined up all the you know, strongest to weakest player associations, I think NHL would pull up the rear. And Major League Baseball probably be the number one strongest players association. Mm-hmm. But maybe with President Biden coming out and saying any company that employs more than 100 people, will that make I didn't see the details on this. Any companies and teams and leagues with unions, does that supersede if it's an executive order? Does that supersede collectively bargained agreements?
Because yeah, well,
the president says.
It would seem to, but I certainly right. don't have all the details either. And then you have the Canadian teams, and you can't have a you know, uneven operating right. procedure through the two countries. So it will be interesting. Right. But as you mentioned, this is more of a dictate within the NHL. And look, right. I mean, it's all about money, right? If you have a team where COVID runs rampant, you have to cancel games. There are refunds that have to be given or a postponement. Everything has a dollar value attached to it. And what the NHL is doing is basically saying, look,
we're not playing that game.
Right.
We're
right.
not, we're not going to rearrange right. everything because a few people decided you make your choice.
And see, that's
we're
the thing, too.
Choice.
A yeah. few people's choices will affect others.
Right.
And that's what this right. whole it's, thing comes down to. And it's great. People can make their own personal choice, but there's going to have to be. Yeah, you know, and understanding that there are going to be losses or changes or something. Somebody's going to have to fill that gap for those losses.
You know, and that segues perfectly into September 11th, Mark. And we're going to talk plenty of Bears before we get out of here at 11 o'clock. But, you know, as horrific as September 11th, 2001 was, and, you know, everyone is remembering 20 years to the day, where they were, you know, what it felt like.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you will always, if you're of a certain age,
absolutely.
You're going to know exactly what you were doing at that moment. You actually realized what was happening in driving downtown today. There were many, many signs, lots of TV coverage. So this is certainly a day of remembrance 20 years ago.
Here's what I remember in the most positive of ways. In my lifetime, never has this country been more unified. Never.
Certainly
as we
agree.
Were in the ensuing yeah. days, months, that the feeling that we were all Americans, the feeling you had towards your neighbors, toward people you didn't even know on the street, the absolute coming together. I mean, there were kindnesses that you went out of your way to show kindness to people. Right. I mean, it went on for months. And that's the one thing that you know, I'm reminded of all the time when you think about September 11th. You certainly remember the planes going into the World Trade Center. But unfortunately, it took that to bring us all together. And in a day and age now where we are seemingly a very divided country on COVID and politics and whatever you want to mm-hmm. pick, mm-hmm. that truly, to me, was a feeling like I've never had before or since. About being an American and being everyone being in this together, you know, that was unfortunately it was too short lived, but for a time, it really was a sense of, you know, togetherness.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it took something that horrific to bring us all together, but we were all together at that time.
As you're talking about this, first of all, I totally agree. I had those feelings too. I think, you know, all the differences melted away and it was basically us versus, you know, whoever did this to us. And I wish that we can remember that feeling and not attach it to a tragedy and just carry that through. And maybe today in remembrance might, you know, that would be a miracle, but certainly I think everybody should remember the way the country came together after that. I mean, I remember where I was. You know, Tyler, you certainly have remembrances of this. You're probably a young guy, right?
When this happened? I remember nothing from this day.
Really? Were you in kindergarten then?
I was in preschool. Yeah,
you were in preschool.
I would have been 4 years old.
Okay, they certainly did not turn on the TV and explain that to you in preschool.
No.
Thankfully.
No.
Okay. Thankfully.
Tyler, did they have formal lessons as you grew up through school, remembering 9/11? Was that part of your studies?
Yeah, there were history classes, and I believe it was the, I'm trying to remember back now, probably the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I was in high school, I want to say, and I remember it was being brought to the forefront then with us and learning a little bit more about it, but it was in history textbooks and all that stuff. So that's really where my education of it comes from. I remember nothing from the day. I don't even remember the days after it. I don't remember there being any sort of big event that had happened in American history, or really the world's history at that time. I just remember one day I used to go to this one breakfast restaurant with my dad all the time. And we'd go like every Saturday. And I just remember one Saturday there at the counter where you pay. All of a sudden, one day there was an American flag there, and it was like a 9/11 commemorative American flag. And that's the only real thing I remember about, hey, there's something big that sort of happened that I knew nothing about.
Well, I remember the White Sox were trying, they had just landed in New York at 2 a.m. that morning after playing in Cleveland. So, you know, obviously their series was canceled immediately, and Kenny Williams was trying to get the team out of New York, and all the planes were grounded, so they, and all the rental cars, I mean, you couldn't find transportation. Like, every rental car in the country was taken as soon as people realized.
Yeah. They were at Grand Central Terminal, and that was like 5 miles away, but they had a straight line of viewing to what was happening. And
yeah,
they got in the middle of the night, and they were groggy when all of this was happening. They were out of town, and I think it was Kasson, it was his last name, who arranged for all the travel. They were out of town at 8 a.m. They boarded buses on September 12th and made their way toward Chicago.
That hotel is part of Grand Central, as you said, and I used to stay there when I covered baseball with the teams, and as a side, as a sidebar, there was a guy who ran a men's clothing store like two doors down from the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tradition of his to, when the team, the opposing team bus was leaving the hotel to make it its way to the Yankee Stadium, he would come out and moon the bus every single time.
How very New York.
That's so New York, right? And then he'd go back in and try to sell someone a tie. It was just, I'm like, what is this guy doing? He does it all the time.
Yeah,
that's just who he is. And but I do remember about a week or so later, I was covering the NHL at the time, and the Blackhawks were going to play a preseason game down in Carolina. And I remember getting on that first flight to go down there, and the pilot walking down the length of the plane and basically eyeballing every passenger. He'd made he got on the PA and basically said, if you see something, say something, whatever. But then he walked down, and if he didn't feel comfortable with someone, just, you know, basically profiling somebody. If he didn't feel comfortable with somebody on that plane, the plane wasn't going anywhere, or that person was getting off the plane. And
it was a very scary time. I actually make a long story very short. I actually have a cousin who is a pilot, and he was traveling that day. And I happened to live next to him. And I ran over there to my cousin's wife and said, where is he? And it turned out he was in India. And they were grounded for like a week, and they finally found a way to commandeer a plane and get all the United employees back. So it was this really, really touch-and-go situation. So, we all know somebody affected, whether your job directly affected. And there was a time where I seem to remember meeting so many people that knew somebody that knew somebody that actually perished in one of the towers or, you know, somewhere. So it was just... I can't believe it's been 20 years, but I can't believe it's 20 years. And I think we just need to remember And we need to remember how united this unfortunate tragedy did make us in the following days, weeks, and a few years there.
Well, we are united in our idea that the Bears are going to beat the Rams, right? Everyone's on board with that?
Yeah, you know, that's not the word I'd use.
Okay, because, yeah, because no one believes the Bears are going to beat the Rams. And we have some Twitter polls, so if you want to go to ESPN 1000 on Twitter, and we have a couple of Twitter polls. One, even if you don't think the Bears are going to win the game, which would make you among the majority of people writing and projecting on this game and picking these games, would you bet the Bears plus 7.5? Because that's the line currently. Would you bet the Bears plus the points tomorrow night? Yes or no? And this speaks to whether the Bears can actually win. And unfortunately, when I saw the Bears total, the projection for the Bears total points tomorrow, Mark, too many times I saw this last year. The Bears are projected over under 19 points.
Oh, come
again,
on.
The league average last year, I think, was 27, 28. And I thought we were past that. I thought we were going to be better than that this year. And look, that speaks to the Rams defense, obviously, and Aaron Donald. But that's where the odds makers have placed the Bears total points. So the Twitter poll question is, would you bet the Bears over or under? Do you think the Bears are going to best 19 points tomorrow night? Yes or no? So
yeah, if you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. We'll take your call after the break. And I certainly will let you know where I stand on these issues.
And, Justin, we talked about this for the last couple of weeks. The 49ers are doing co-QB1s. Now, I don't think the Bears have that anywhere along in their meetings. They haven't even discussed that. But the idea last week we talked, would you even have a package, a Justin Fields package, where you get him in there for a series or a couple snaps anyway? And Sean McVay said he is certainly planning on that, and he is preparing for that, to see Justin Fields. So our third Twitter poll question, will we see Justin Fields tomorrow night? Yes or no? Because the Rams coach says he expects to see him at some point, doesn't know how much or how often or how early. But maybe that's gamesmanship as well. 312-332-3776. You can weigh in on those questions and join the conversation on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Mark Zander, Brian Hanley, we're glad you're with us on ESPN 1000. You can also check us out on the ESPN Chicago app. Check out all the great programs and podcasts right there. It's so simple to use. So you take us with you when you're out and about on a Saturday morning. And you can check out Mark Zander at Zander Rocker, one word, one R in the middle of that, Zander Rocker. And that's on Twitter. And also I'm at Brian Hanley 534. And
what's the 534, Brian?
That is the address of the home that I grew up in. My mom and dad and 9 kids and lived there for 50 plus years. Okay. So why not? We always refer to
I thought
to
that was your jersey number.
Yeah, it was 534. I never got in the game. yeah, but no, that we all refer to it as 534, even though we've since sold and moved out because we're all old people now. So primetime game tomorrow, and I've yet to see any national expert, NFL expert, pick the Bears to win this game against the Rams. And, you know, all the numbers, Mark, would make the case that they can't win this game, right? Sean McVay's offense, the Rams' defense. How about the scary
all
part
the
is
things.
Kyle Shanahan was hoping to get Matt Stafford from Detroit, right? And here comes Matt Stafford now, not wearing a Lions uniform, is running the Rams offense. And Kyle Shanahan said on a podcast this week that he had done intense film study on Matt Stafford and never really thought he was all that good. And he comes out of that film study because he was trying to figure out if he wanted to make a play for him or not, saying the guy's underrated. And he is truly the man, and he's much, much better than Kyle Shanahan even believed before he really dove into the X's and O's and broke down all the plays he could get his hands on. So that should scare you that Sean McVay has got maybe, certainly has to be, a rejuvenated, excited Matt Stafford to be on a team that's actually projected to be a playoff team.
I can't imagine how that is going to look. It's going to be all positive. You're right. I mean, he was a very, very good quarterback on a very, very bad team for a long time. And, yeah, this has got to be a new lease on life, and we're going to see an even better quarterback. I thought he was good. I thought it was easy to see that he was a solid quarterback, even with the Lions. But I think that this was a probably – this might be the trade of the offseason. And, yeah.
It was the first trade that got all
it was.
Going,
it was.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. We were kind of waiting to see what pieces would fall, and that was the first one. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody in Detroit that's like, yes, we've got Jason Goff over him.
I don't think Dan Campbell, the meathead coach, is even thinking that.
Right. So it gets worse for Detroit, unfortunately. But yeah, this is going to be tough. And the defense for the Rams, we've talked about it over and over and over. So how people could even think that the Bears are going to win? I've got a problem even with the the points. I don't think that, they're giving us 7.5 points. I'm not taking that. Are you?
Well, by kickoff, it might be 8.5 or 9. But if everyone's going to follow the money so far, right?
Right.
Everyone really thinks the Bears have no shot here. You know, the points of the Bears over under 19, again, is a red flag to me, because we were told that it's going to get better and it has to be better. And here comes Andy Dalton, the pro's pro, and he will identify defenses. He'll know when to make a play, when to get rid of the ball. He'll be much better than Nick Foles was or Mitch Trubisky was. Here comes Matt Nagy back. You had the terrific cuts from Matt hanging with Hurt and talking about he benched himself when he was play calling last year and the things weren't going well. So he turned the play calling over to Bill Lazor,
mm-hmm.
but now took it back because, you know, it's a new season and he's
better
be fine.
Now, apparently.
Yeah.
He's fixed.
Had a timeout. He had his timeout.
He had his timeout.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Matt Nagy has been promoted as an offensive guru. Just ask him. You know, he'll be the first to tell you about how all things went in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and grooming him. And, you know, he finally got to do play calling for, I think, all 6 quarters before Ryan Pace went and hired him away.
Right. I have come to the conclusion that we were so starved. And I was actually on with Waddle this past week, and mm-hmm. we were talking about this. I think that we were so starved for somebody that was an offensive guru that we took, you know, him and not really him at his word, but we had hope because we had heard something. We have attached that to him, and now he's embraced it so much, he's turned into this offensive guru that I don't think he ever was yet.
Well, he hasn't backed it up.
Right.
And factually speaking, if you look at how poor the Bears offense was, in particular in first halves last year, but in week one, under Matt Nagy, the Bears are 1-2 and so far, since he's been the Bears head coach. Unfortunately, they've only averaged 17.7 points in those opening week games, 15.3 on offense. It needs to be about 10 points better than that to even believe that you're going to be a wild card team. Now, look, I know they were a wild card team last year in a COVID manufactured playoff spot that they backed into. You know, they couldn't even win in the end. They
right.
they lost and got in, then they scored all 9 points.
Yeah, we can't
in
look
Orleans.
At that as that's not reality. That was
but
a
two,
gift that
two,
they couldn't capitalize on.
You know, when you have the entire offseason to prepare for your opening game, they've had 2 offensive TDs in 12 quarters under Matt Nagy in week one. Now you're going against the Rams defense on the road. And that's probably a big reason why those numbers, you come up with 19 points for the total points for Bears over under in Vegas. And it has to be better than that. And it has to be the offense putting those points up. I think Sean Desai is going to be very good as the defensive coordinator. And it's great to hear all the players sing his praises and be connected and tuned in and want to, you know, play for this guy. Hopefully that all plays out into an improved defense. But even if the defense can get some takeaways, and they have to get more than they've had the last couple of seasons, and gives you some premium and prime field position, the offense is going to have to take advantage of that when they're given short fields in particular. So Hopefully the defense has improved. Eddie Goldman looks like he's not going to play with the knee and ankle injuries. You know, that's a concern.
Big concern, yeah.
Yeah. So I hopefully Bears fans can make a case today for why they think the Bears can throw a surprise party, if you believe that, if they can go out there and win. 312-332-3776. Do you believe that to be the case, or at least be competitive? Again, everyone across the NFL landscape is basically saying it's the Rams game, and you know, Bears are just going out there as props. As, you know.
Well, are you taking the 7.5 and the 19? Are you over? Where are you at on the 19
Boy,
points?
I would have to bet the under if I was going to.
Me too. I'm not taking the 7.5. You know, Bears and 7.5. I don't even think that's going to hold up.
Yeah, I think they might surprise and might make it closer, or maybe even backdoor cover. You know, score late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might the 7.5, and I think it'll be 8.5 by kickoff. Might be enough points to put a few bucks on, but I want them. Going back to what George and Ted said in January, you know, we have to see substantial improvement. We have to see progress. That was very nebulous. That's as far as they would go.
Of course. What is substantial improvement? For fans, it's kicking everybody's ass. That's substantial improvement. But, yeah, you know, that obviously isn't the measure.
Yeah, I know Tyler's probably very upset that we haven't hit the break on time. So when we come back, we want to hear from you, 312-332-3776. Make a case for the Bears and define substantial progress for us. If you're Ted and George McCaskey, what in your mind, in the back of your head, do you have a number? Do you have a playoff? It has to be playoffs, win and you're in, or if you don't win, you're out for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. 312-332-3776. Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back in. It's Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000, and we're going to get to the phone lines. I know a lot of people want to join the conversation, but quickly, Mark Xander, I think this has to be from my guy Jim Miller out at Hawthorne, because mm-hmm. we had on our Twitter poll, one of the questions was, will we see Justin Fields tomorrow, yes or no, in the game? And from the Hawthorne Casino Racecourse Insider's Guide on Twitter, replying to that, there's a 0.5 over-under line on Bet Rivers, Illinois, for number of snaps Fields takes tomorrow. Under is -250, over is +180. All caps, take the over, forget Nagy. This O-line will get Dalton crushed if his helmet gets knocked off. That's one play, and he's got to sit out for one play. So here comes Justin Fields. So that's the logic.
Well, Greeny said it would be Foles. So there's another argument for Foles. The only one.
So if you think the offensive line is going to get Dalton's helmet off for at least one play, and he's going to have to, you know, if they throw the flag, he doesn't have to come out, right?
Right.
But if it's an illegal.
So he said, they said take the over.
+180, yeah.
Okay. All right. Jim in Aurora wants to talk about Andy Dalton, that very guy. Good morning, Jim. You're on ESPN 1000.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, Brian, I think you summarized exactly a few minutes ago exactly what Dalton's going to do, and he's going to run Nagy's offense exactly the way he wants to. And I'm not saying they're going to win these games, but he's going to keep them close enough, and he's going to make it very difficult for the Fields decision to come mm-hmm. into play then. And he's exactly what they wanted in a quarterback, I think, prior to them realizing they could get Fields.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. You know, they did not know that they would end up with Fields. So this way, if we didn't have Justin Fields, we would just be riding with the Red Rifle all season long with Foles backing him up.
On a one-year deal. Which, you know, basically who was going to be a bridge guy,
right,
whether Fields
until
was here or not.
Until we figured out what was going on.
Right.
Thankfully, we did figure out our future. Now we just have to see it.
Right. And I'm not saying they're going to win these games, but I'm saying 27-24 Rams, and they're going to come in the back door maybe with some points at
oh,
the end.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
Right.
You got them within
three.
That's
respectable. Yeah, it's certainly right. respectable. Thanks
right.
for the call,
yeah.
man. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. We've got Derek on the north side. Derek, you are on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Xander. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me be clear. What we saw on Thursday night was the perfect example of why the Bears have an absolute chance to win. The Dallas game plan, their offensive coordinator game plan for that defensive line, he didn't even try to run against it. He just got the ball out to his receivers, and we got points on the board. There were a bunch of drops by a bunch of receivers on Dallas, and they still scored 29 points. The Bears, I believe, can win this game 30-27 simply because the defense can score a touchdown or at least 10 points. Now, let me say this very quickly. To your point you just made about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton can run this offense, but he will run into the same issue Nick Foles did. In the game, when Nick Foles will see what the defense is doing and try to make an adjustment, if you recall, he got into it with Nagy. They would yell back and forth on the field. Nagy would call a timeout because Nagy is too hands-on with this offense, and he won't let the quarterback do what he sees. A veteran. Remember, Nick Foles was supposed to be with our Andy Dalton of last year.
Nick knows
his offense. He's going to do it. He's going to be the guy. And when Nick Foles tried to speed up the offense based on what the defense was doing, making calls, remember Tom Brady Thursday night yelled no to Byron Leftwich when he was calling in the wrong plays. He said no. Nagy called the timeout last year. He did it several times. And then they would argue on the sideline. But you see what happened in Buffalo with Mr. Trubisky, not to say he's a star, but you see a quarterback coach or a head coach who knows what to do with the talent they possess and how to put them in the best chance to win.
Derek, that's always been the issue. Thank you. That has always been the issue, Brian, as far as I've seen it, is they just, you know, Matt has just been trying to shove his program down whoever's throat is, you know, the quarterback. Not really considered that. And we've seen an adjustment go on, but that really has been the overarching issue, I feel,
point. You know, get the damn play called and get it in. And let, you know, how many times do we see that the Derek talking about the timeouts because there's confusion and then a delay game after the timeouts because they still didn't know what they were doing?
Right.
I mean, that's inexcusable. With a veteran quarterback like Nick Foles, and certainly if they believe they've upgraded with Andy Dalton, and he's going to be much more able to identify defenses, audible, whatever he needs to do, but get the damn play in and you know, get moving. That it took too long. There's no rhythm to this Bears offense.
And that is a word. That is a word that Tommy Waddle brought up. Rhythm. There is not a sense of rhythm, and you're right. Need that. Hey, we've got George in Old Town joining us. You're on ESPN, George. What's up?
I can make a case that line can get that running game going, and if Justin Fields is used in red zone and for potential long plays strategically. I mean, look, if Drew Brees can sit on the side as a, is an all-world quarterback.
Here comes
Andy Dalton can sit on the side a little bit, too, in strategic plays, and you got to use him. He's the number one draft choice. We're expecting it. If not, let's say maybe 10, 12 plays.
10 or 12?
10 or 12 plays. Wow. That would be a lot.
That would be. Thanks, George. Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, they did do that in New Orleans with Drew Brees, and they're going to do it again this year, certainly, with Jameis Winston. But the idea that, as soon as I heard Sean McVay, you know, talk about it in the press conference after we'd been talking about it last week or two, I thought it'd be so Matt Nagy. So, well, I'm not doing it now. I was going to do it, but now McVay said he's going to
You're right.
It.
You're right. He almost has this pride of ownership that takes him out of common sense because he just it always feels, or it's felt to this point, that he has just wanted to be that guy that creates this Nagy offense that is going to be remembered for this incredible thing that he brought to the game, brought to the Bears. But the thing is, it has to be successful, and to this point, it has not.
Yeah, but I could just see Matt saying, well, we're not doing that because I'll show him.
They're on to me.
It's a chess game now. Okay, Sean, you think you know what's coming? It's not coming.
Right.
And you know, as far as the running game goes, you know, whether they're going to do I read anything into it? They're going to have rotating captains, but David Montgomery is the offensive captain tomorrow night. Does that mean, you know, because we know Matt Nagy again and hanging with the Hurt swore his love and allegiance to David Montgomery and how much he loves the guy and trusts the guy and believes in the guy. that you don't name him captain and then give him a pedestrian number of handoffs, right?
I mean, yeah, that would be a nice indicator, but you know, we really don't know what that actually means. I mean, tomorrow's going to answer, you know, some questions, and we've been all excited to get there. Let's take another call before we hit break. This is Wayne downtown. He wants to bring up Tariq Cohen. Hey, Wayne, you're on with Hanley and Zander on ESPN.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
First thing I want to, I do want to bring up what's going on with Tariq Cohen first, and then the second thing was pretty much a statement. I just think Nagy is not a good coach, and they're going up against a guy who is a good coach. The Bears have probably zero chance of winning the game. I think their record will be 7-10 this year, and I also have two reasons to say Nagy's not a good coach. First, is when
that was one reason 7-10 would have been reason number one.
Well, right. When he could have moved up on a running play and got more yards for the field goal kicker. That's one reason in the playoff game. And then the second reason he proved to me he wasn't a good coach is when they played the Rams last year, and he actually ran the ball at Aaron Donald. What kind of coach would design runs at Aaron Donald?
Again, they weren't expecting that to happen, so he showed him. He had a little surprise party for him, right? To no avail.
It's that Nagy offense. He's a guru.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Thanks, Wayne.
Hey, Tariq Cohen.
Oh, yeah. Bring that up, please. Yeah.
Well, I believe he had two surgeries, because when Ryan Pace was asked if he had a second surgery, he said, I don't really want to get into that, which pretty much gives you the answer, right? He had a second surgery, just the one we were aware of. So gotcha. I wouldn't expect Tariq back anytime soon. That'd be a guess.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Thanks.
Hey, when we come back, Jay Cutler had some thoughts on whether we would see Justin Fields tomorrow night or whether we should see Justin Fields. Of course, he joins Waddle and Sylvie each week here on ESPN 1000. So we'll hear from Jay Cutler, and we'll hear from you, 312-332-3776. Xander Hanley on a Saturday morning on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
He's Mark Xander. I'm Brian Hanley. We're glad you're with us. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. If you want to jump on in, we're here until 11 a.m., so lots of time to talk Bears. White Sox, want to touch on a little bit of the goings-on at Wrigley Field yesterday with Chris Bryant returning to Chicago for the first time since the trade. Want to get to the calls, Mark. And after we do, I found the one man in this nation who believes that the Bears are going to win tomorrow night. And I will read you his take on that. But let's hear from our listeners first.
You must have had to really dig hard for that.
I did.
This is Bob from Roseland. Good morning, Bob. You're on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Xander.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I'm sorry. I'm listening to the callers. I'm listening to everybody. Are they insane? I mean, do they not see the trend that's been brewing with the Bears for the last couple of years? Just Matt Nagy's a toolbox, bro. Like, this season, we're setting up for a bumpy ride. I really feel like that this season is going to be a disaster. You know, I cannot believe no one in this city, in Center Pit, even can possibly talk themselves up on Andy Dalton. You see him in Dallas. We get it. The guy is as pedestrian as they come. And if Nick Foles was supposed to be our Andy Dalton of last year, well, yeah, okay, we've seen how that worked out for us. Not very well. Nick Foles wasn't good. Andy Dalton isn't good. Matt Nagy isn't good. Oh, I'm very scared, and I don't see where the optimism is coming anywhere. Chicago needs to wake up. Like, we better buckle up.
Bob, we're starving. We're
starving.
Are
we all insane? I love that. Yeah.
We're starving. That's why we have optimism. And I'm not sure it's based in reality. It's rooted in reality. But, you know, we're hoping for the best. But I get it. Yeah. I get it.
It's brutal.
Every number says Matt Nagy, it doesn't always do it. And whether
he's ridiculous.
One of our
then he talks to us like we're stupid. He doesn't answer any questions.
No. One of our Twitter followers said, every time I hear Andy Dalton's going to run Matt Nagy's offense, my question is, what is Matt Nagy's offense
right now? Exactly. That's a good question.
Exactly.
That's a good question.
What offense? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
Get ready, guys.
Bob, I want you to take a warm bath today, Bob, and just kind of chill out.
A warm bath?
Yeah.
How old are you, Bob?
That's the first thing that came to mind, Brian. I wasn't going to tell him to open a beer at 10 in the morning. Or you can do that.
No, it was a little too early for that.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time I took a bath.
A bath with a bath bomb. I've read about it.
Yeah.
Definitely coddled by water or something, because this would be a brutal season. All right, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Oh, boy. Yeah, Bob. Bob's saying it like he feels, and, boy, there's just no hope.
Jim Lexa said, what exactly is Nagy's offense? So right now, it's no damn good. It's time to change
that. There are all kinds of adjudicates you could assign to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, really.
Eddie on the north side wants to talk about our rookie quarterback wearing number one jersey.
Eddie? Are you taking a little bath right now, a little soak?
Yeah. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah, no, you're not taking a soak, are you there, Eddie? No, you're not taking a soak.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the water's in his ears.
Am I here?
You're
here.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Out of 85 Ohio State players drafted ever to the NFL, not one in the history of NFL has produced an elite quarterback.
Correct.
And here's a note of it. At the end of the year, Ohio State's quarterback and the Alabama quarterback, you're going to see it. They're going to start talking, this guy's better than Justin Fields. This guy's better than the guy in New England. Yeah. And out of reports that came out that there's a lot of people picking Buffalo to win the Super Bowl this year. Where did Josh Allen go to college?
Yeah, right.
Wyoming? Is that where he came from?
Mitch came from, Utah?
No, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah.
Yeah. Mitch came from North Carolina.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is when these quarterbacks go to these elite schools, they are passing the people that are just awesome. But these other quarterbacks that have tougher schools, I think they have to think harder, work harder, and they come to the NFL, and they're good. I mean, just look at it. Look around of some of these quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls.
So you're not Justin Fields. You know? You have no faith in Justin Fields.
So you're a Dalton fan then?
No, he's clearly
No. Right. I'd rather see the Super Bowl winner playing before Dalton.
Nick
Foles, they shouldn't even have got that guy. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Eddie from the north side. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Yeah, that's
Are we still doing this? Are we still doing this?
He went to Ohio.
Eddie called in the other day when Waddle and I were on, and he gave the same argument, the same argument. Look, are we here saying that anybody coming out of Ohio State playing a quarterback position, and everybody's doomed? In the future? Because that's what the school does to you?
Texas Tech had never had a good NFL quarterback prior to Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Like, are we going to do this?
No, but Texas Tech isn't exactly Ohio State in terms of football factory powerhouse, right? I mean, I think Justin Fields is going to be just fine. Now, does that mean we're going to see him tomorrow night? Jay Cutler said, probably not. He doesn't think that's such a good idea.
Waddle and I think there should be a Fields package, not to just play
him.
No,
that's an awful idea.
Why is that? That's a great idea. Why is it bad? What's wrong with it? We're going to fight again. Here we go.
Yeah, that's fine. We can do this. Because you playing quarterback in the NFL, like you've got to get a flow. You got to get a feel for things. And, like, in and out of the game, and then having two different packages as an offensive caller sucks. Because now you got to go a whole different way. Like, you want to run them around, I'm guessing, is what your plan is.
I think Sylvie and I would both probably be okay with a red zone package for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that, just put the kid in and let him play the game.
Yeah, that's Jay Cutler joining Waddle and Sylvie, obviously. You know, he's got a real good point. You know, you could pull that off if you have the right offense and you have the right players.
Do we have the right offensive line, maybe.
And that, too. Yeah, throw that in. You know, and I know that Matt just has, as we've heard, that cut. We played it last week. You know, he has tremendous confidence in his play calling. We know he thinks he can do it. But can he do that? Can he create a successful situation for them to run a package successfully? I don't know.
if there are more people out there like our last caller who really think Justin Fields is going to be a complete washout and a bust and was a wasted pick, then, you know, might as well move to Arlington Heights and you know, bring in a new team. Because if they got this one wrong, how far back is the franchise set? If Mitch Trubisky set back the Bears 4 or 5 years, swing and missing on Justin Fields might be another 10.
Yes.
And
yes.
For a team that I read today, squarely was four, their win percentage since 2000, 421. I mean, think about that.
Like not only good enough.
Four, not even 500 in all those years. So, yeah, we went through last week the 45 Bears quarterbacks since 1985, right? So Justin Fields better be the answer. The question should only be, when are we going to see him? And Jay
not,
Cutler,
not if we should see him. Yes, no, absolutely.
Jay Cutler said no. It's just too much. Too much for him, too much for the coaching staff. And maybe tomorrow night it would just be too much. And now that Sean McVay said he's expecting it, Matt Nagy's going to say
Has Matt ever heard the KISS rule?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, maybe he should try that. I'm not sure he's tried that yet.
When we come back, we want to hear more from our listeners because we're all over. Now we've
got some phone lines stacked here, so we will take more Bears calls when we get back here. In 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.